Let's start with prayer. So Father, I pray you'd bless your word today as we look into you. Write it in our hearts and minds and help us to live how you want us to live. Don't let us be forgetful hearers, but make us doers of your word. Please help us to be diligent in our work as we serve you, and help us see our work not just as earthly, but as service to you. Do you have those pictures? I have a couple pictures from the hike, too. So this is the group of kids on the top of the mountain. And then the next picture is this green backpack that is the inspiration for the topic for today, which Phil actually kind of already talked about it. And then there were a couple songs that talked that we sang that talk about service and serving the Lord. So that's kind of the main inspiration, is this green backpack. So some of us hiked Mount Mansfield in Vermont last Saturday. On this hike, there was a backpack that no one wanted to carry, but everyone was able to. After a while, Will was carrying it with a good attitude, and I thought, my son's big and strong. It would be nice of him to help carry this pack for a while. Leland had no backpack to carry, and in detail, the one I had was heavy enough, I didn't feel like I should make him carry that one, but he should carry something. So I told Leland to offer to carry it, and he automatically didn't want to help. I was like, all right, you're going to do this. Somehow the pack must have been heavier for the first half mile or whatever that he carried it, because he kept sitting down and whining, oh, my legs hurt, can't do this. And then somehow eventually it wasn't so heavy. I don't think the backpack got emptied anywhere. As far as I know, nothing came missing. I think it was all an attitude. But I realized, I think we do that in our own life, even as adults. And I think it's, for one, I think there's a principle, an important principle that I was hoping Leland would learn from carrying the backpack for his friend. And I think it's also a principle that we all either take for granted sometimes or need to have grown more in our own lives. It's certainly something we can always improve on, because Christ is our example of service and willingly laying down our lives that we should be living by. So kind of the main principle from carrying a backpack that I was hoping he would learn. Galatians 6, verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's essentially the idea, is that as Christians, we should look at what someone else is doing, and if there's a way that we can help lighten their burden, we should be willing to sacrifice our own discomfort to make their work easier. I think there's probably... this whole talk is emphasizing serving and being willing to serve. And that side of it, I think there's also a balance of being able to rest and knowing that work isn't all our responsibility. But I think we should, in general, err on the side of being willing to help if there's something that we can do. So bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? John 13, 34 through 35, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And 1 John 4:21 says, and this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. I think two thoughts from those passages is that by loving God, we have to love our brothers, and by loving our brothers, we're loving God. So the Bible has a lot to say about serving each other, and so I have a lot of different passages to read, and I don't think in any way I've been exhaustive on all the passages that could be read and discussed. And for example of that, the ones that Phil shared aren't in my notes. And I thought they tied very well about how we should be serving each other. So Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Again, two principles from that are work heartily as for the Lord, and then we're told that you are serving the Lord. Try and stay in my notes and not get sidetracked. 1 Peter 4:7-11 talks about using your gift to serve one another so that God can be glorified. I think we'll go there. So 1 Peter 4:7-11. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. As each has received, backing up verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. I think that's a key phrase, using our gifts to serve one another. And then down a little further in verse 11, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. That goes with what Eric was even talking about, how Solomon could have potentially become very prideful at that point. I think he does later in his life. But when we serve, it should be by the strength that God supplies, not by our own strength or by our own means only. It says, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Then Proverbs 27:17 is a common verse about the effect of being around other people. It says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. And there's a kind of a footnote in the Hebrew. It says, one man sharpens the face of another. The idea of sharpening another person's face, when I was dwelling on it, reminded me of Cain, where we're told that his face fell before the Lord. So Genesis 4:1-5. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portion. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, and you must rule over it. So Cain's face fell. Cain did a work, and God wasn't pleased with it. Cain should have been willing to work and do better. Genesis 4:6-7. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Cain's hands were unwilling to work. He chose to go and attack the one who did better than him, instead of improving his own offering for the Lord. If someone does better than you, don't be a fool like Cain. Let your brother's good works encourage you that you can do the same because Jesus lives in you. I'd never really seen that part of the passage, or that part hadn't really stuck out to me, that God gave Cain a chance. God told him that if you do well, will you not be accepted? And I also thought that there's another footnote next to that, will you not be accepted? It refers to, again, his face. It says, will there not be a lifting up of your face? It was what's implied in the Hebrew language. And as I was dwelling it, I was like, that's kind of, I think we experience that on a daily or weekly basis with our own work. Oftentimes Mondays feel more like probably how Cain felt after a sacrifice, because you have a ton of work, you don't feel like being at work, and you're not, your face is somewhat down. Oftentimes on Monday is the weekly routine. But by Monday night, certainly by middle of the week, you feel accomplished by what you've done. And I think to some extent, work and accomplishing stuff has that effect on you and should have that effect on us, that it lifts our face because God designed us for work and for service. And if we do well in it and we do it unto the Lord, it should have the result of lifting our face up and helping us be encouraged. Because God does receive our work and does receive our sacrifice and service that way. Proverbs 10, verse 4. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. In Proverbs 12, 24, the hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. It is good to have hands that are willing to work. If your response to work is a sinking feeling in your stomach or a strong negative feeling, there's a problem. God wants his people to work. In verse 24, both people end up working, but it is better to be the first person, the one that's diligent. Psalm 145, verse 9, says, the Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all he has made. That's English Standard Version. The New King James Version says, and his tender mercies are over all his works. If we care for our work, whatever our work is, it honors God. Whether our work is delivering mail, fixing cars, running machines, wiring houses, or doing school. If we care for it well and do it diligently, we serve and glorify God. Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. By working, we count others more important than ourselves. Who is showing preference to the other person in a home? The one who sits and is served, or the one doing the serving? In a home, it should not always be one person serving and the others being served. In a home, all should aim to serve and help us as best they can. In our home, even Obed and Ellie can help out and do willingly, and they do so willingly and joyfully. Oftentimes, they're making more mess than they clean up, but they're helpful. Like, oftentimes, we'll have something that needs to get put away, and they know where it is, and you can give it to Obed, and he'll run and put it away and come back and hang out with you while you're doing other stuff. And I'll double-check him later, and it's like, a two-year-old just did something useful. He saved me a trip to the bathroom or whatever, or putting stuff in the trash. They know where the trash can is, and they're happy to throw stuff in there. You have to watch they didn't put something you didn't want in there, but they're pretty useful and find pleasure in helping out in those things. Philippians 2, 5 through 7. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus became a servant, and so should we, even more so. I think when Phil was talking, I was like, I think this passage of scripture parallels what Phil was talking about, where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. We're told here he didn't see, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped or held on to. He willingly humbled himself, even though he had every, you know, he was in the highest place and chose to take the lowest place. And I think in our homes and in our workplaces, we as Christians should be willing to take the lowest place and be willing to serve and not demand a higher position than somebody else. So Luke 6:27-36. Like I said, I have a lot of scriptures, and I don't think I even scratched the surface probably on what the Bible has to say about serving and how it should influence our daily lives. But Luke 6:27-36. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good, and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. We are to serve those who don't appreciate us. Verse 36 says that God is kind to the ungrateful. How often are we ungrateful toward God and toward our family? God wants his people to give thanks in all circumstances. God wants us to love and serve our enemies, yet we often struggle with serving our own family and friends. May we grow more like Christ in this area, and may we serve our family and friends generously, even when we don't feel appreciated. As I was pondering that, it's obviously talking about being kind and generous towards people that are attacking us, or like the request of going... let me go back to the passage. Yeah, it's saying to love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. I think oftentimes we're not even able to do that towards our own household because, you know, somebody wants us to take out the trash and our first response is, well, I worked all day or whatever. Just kind of throwing things out there. I think if we actually ponder in our own hearts what our willingness to serve is and realize that when we're not wanting to get up and do something at home, are we being Christ-like in that way? Or are we better off, you know, the way that God wants us to lay down our life is by being willing to serve others. And I think sometimes we don't because we feel that the person that we're serving or in the home with isn't prioritizing us, so why should I prioritize them or whatever. It's like all sorts of little things that get stuck in our heads and minds in our home and our daily life that if we're willing to just lay down our life for Christ and serve them, like if God wants us to serve our enemies, certainly he wants us to serve our family. It's kind of assumed that we would, I think. So Matthew 5:41, I think I'll read the paragraph around it. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye. Yeah, this is the passage I was kind of mixing up with the prior one. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. So all of these things are unpleasant. The person's rude, the person's hit us, or the person has forced us to walk a mile, and God, Jesus is saying, walk with them 2 miles. I don't think our homes are typically like that, though sometimes we might feel that way. I suppose kids probably feel that way toward their parents. You know, they just made me do all this stuff. But God wants us to have that heart and attitude of being willing to serve and go twice as far as we're being asked to go. Okay. So in closing, I heard this, I guess it's a poem. I heard this on a sermon, I think Thursday night on my way home from work, and I thought it fit well with what I was preparing for today. I'm not sure exactly who wrote it. One thing I found online said it was Charles Swindoll. Another thing said it was Charles Osgood. I don't know who Charles Osgood is. But it's a poem about everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. I heard it when I was a kid, too, probably, and thought it was hilarious back then. But hopefully the kids appreciate it. It says, there was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. So in closing, what mindset should we have? I'll leave a question. What mindset should we have when there's something that needs to be done and maybe no one wants to do it? Our prayer should be, God, help me do this for you, and God, be glorified in my work. All right. So let's pray, and then I guess we can have testimony time. So Father, I pray as we hopefully remember some of the things from your word today, that you would place them in our heart and spur us on in obedience and serving you and in serving each other. Help us to not see things as merely earthly, but glorify you with the things that are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.